chapter 26. Numbers chapter 26 and verse 14. These are the families of the Simeonites, 22,200. And verse 34. These are the families of Manasseh, and those that were numbered of them, 52,700. I thought of saying a word or two for a few minutes about this incident when the people of God was numbered before entering the land. And perhaps somebody else has a word after that on a related or unrelated subject. The book of Numbers contains a lot of numbers, which may be why people have given this name to it. I don't think it's the original name of the text. I think the proper name is really given by the first few words in the text of that book, because it starts off by saying, "And Jehovah spoke to Moses in the wilderness." And I think the way it starts in the original, I'm told, is "in the wilderness God spoke." And that's the topic of this book, "in the wilderness." Now, in the beginning, when the people of God came into the wilderness, they were numbered, not the tribe of Levi, but the other tribes. They were counted carefully from a certain age onwards, 20 years. And for every tribe, they knew how many there were. Now, after all this journey, after a long time, they are numbered again. So the first of these two occasions you find in the first chapter, and we've read from the second one in chapter 26. And at first sight, if one looks at such a chapter, one might say it's very dry reading. But I think there are some interesting and important lessons in such a chapter. Now, perhaps you might ask, why is that important at all, this issue of numbering the people? Did it matter so much how many there were? Well, the people were supposed to enter the land of Canaan. And basically, those who were counted, they were those who were able to go out and fight against the enemy. And so they had to know how many are there and how many can go and help us to possess the land. Another issue was that every tribe was going to get a certain inheritance in that country. And you read in this chapter here, in verse 54, verse 54, "To the many thou shalt increase their inheritance, and to the few thou shalt diminish their inheritance. To every one shall his inheritance be given according to those that were numbered of him." And here we come to the crux of the matter, you might say. Why did it matter so much whether they were many or whether they were few? Whether they had increased over the years or whether their number had decreased? It mattered because the number of people they had in one tribe determined the size of inheritance which they were going to get. And the question we might ask ourselves is, how has our ability to conquer the land changed over time, say over the past few weeks or months? Have we increased, not necessarily in number, in a testimony, but in our ability and enjoyment of getting some of the blessing of that promised land? You can read of some of these blessings in the Epistle to the Ephesians, what God has given us, or has our ability perhaps diminished? You could also ask whether we are living personally in the days of Joshua, where you conquer the land, or in the days of Judges, where you are sort of in the land, but every now and then some enemy comes and eats up all the crops and you don't really get anything. So this is the question we might ask briefly tonight. We've read about two tribes, but before looking at them, we may just look at the total. If you add up all these numbers, or if that sounds to be too hard work for you, then you might look at a verse that tells you the result, and we'll find somewhere towards the end of the chapter, as they were, if I'm not wrong, I don't find the verse right now, 601,000.
51.
Thank you. Now, if you compare that with the beginning, in chapter 1, you find it's almost the same number. Very small difference. And that's very remarkable in itself. God had said that he wanted to lead the people out of Egypt and into the land. And if he leads 600,000 men out of Egypt, he is able to bring 600,000 into the land. Not because they obeyed, not because they were faithful, but because God is faithful and he will do what he promises. But even if that is the case, you have quite important differences from tribe to tribe. Some tribes increased and some decreased dramatically. And we picked out an example for each of those two cases. And the first we've read of was in verse 14. These are the families of the Simeonites, 22,200. Now, if you just go back with me to chapter 1, I'll give you the verse there. In chapter 1, and verse 23, it says, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Simeon, were 59,300. Do you remember the numbers? Imagine that. They leave, and in the beginning, they are around 59,000. 40 years later, I mean, all of the people had died anyway, except for Joshua and Caleb were allowed to enter, but the tribes were still there. And this tribe had decreased to 22,000. That means it was reduced to about a third of the original size. And you may say, well, how is that possible? If it stayed constant, roughly, overall, how can one tribe be cut down to such an extent? The others were blessed. Well, I just give one hint where the tribe of Simeon is mentioned. If you look at chapter 25, you find the incident where the people of Israel had linked up with the Moabites. And in chapter 25 and verse 14, it says, and the name of the men of Israel that was slain, who was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Zelu, the prince of a father's house of the Simeonites. Now that is one incident where the Simeonites were occupying a preeminent position, where they stood out. And that was a very bad case. It was not only a case of sin, all tribes were involved in that, more or less, but it was a case of sin, as the Bible calls it, with a hand lifted up. Is that the expression? It's an overt sin which you practice in a way that everyone can see it, and it's not something that just happened to you. It's a provocative sin. And that's one of the things that had happened in the history of their tribe. And that may explain why God says, well, I cannot bless this tribe. And there may well have been other events as well. Now the second case is quite different. We read in 26 verse 34. These are the families of Manasseh, and those that were numbered of them, 52,700. Going back to chapter 1. Hope you still have your finger in there. It says in verse 35, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Manasseh, were 32,200. Now here you have a case where things developed quite the other way around. Started off with 32 and finished off with 52. So whoever is good at percentages will tell us that this is an increase of about, say, 60%. It's a dramatic increase over time. So here we have a tribe that was blessed. Now what do we know about that tribe? Well again, I'll just give you one incident where the tribe of Manasseh is mentioned. In chapter 27, it says in verse 1, then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, and the son of Joseph, and these are the names of his daughters. And then you get an incident about the daughters of this man, and it's emphasized that they are from this particular tribe, Manasseh. Now, what was this incidents, what had happened? Well, if you read down the next few verses, you find the answer. Their father had died, and they said, is that a reason for us not to receive an inheritance? So here you have people who stand out in quite a different way. They're not those who stand out by sinning in this overt manner, but they stand out by showing an interest in possessing the land. And they say, well, wouldn't it be right for us to get a portion in that land? Now Moses didn't know, because there was no rule about this case, and his reaction is very good. Instead of just deciding or pretending to know, he prays, and then God gives an answer and says, well, make a law for this particular case which says that if this happens, then the daughters still receive the inheritance which their father would have received. And so this request of these daughters of Zelophehad is honored. So just taking these two examples, I think we can learn something from these numbers which are presented here. There are those tribes which have sad history, and there is decrease, and as a result, the portion of land which they get becomes smaller. On the other hand, there are such who are faithful, such who want to possess the land, and God blesses them, and they receive a larger portion. And the question for us is, in how far are we interested in heavenly things? And how far have we searched out the blessings which belong to us? You know, there's this verse I sometimes think of in Joshua 1, I think, where it says, every place on which your foot, your soul rests, belongs to you. But you've got to go there. If it just belongs to us and we have never found out about it, we can't really enjoy these things. but the Lord can give us that we study His Word, also that we live in fellowship with Him, and that we enjoy things which are heavenly. Think to today, especially in countries where life is relatively easy, it's also very easy to get fully occupied with hobbies, interesting things which are not bad, but things which will just eat up our time. And the question is, how much energy is left for the heavenly things? How much energy is there to take possession of this